Very special Sunday in regards to what we're going to be talking about today. I was praying this week and thinking we're going to go through Ephesians again, chapter 2, going through it, and just the Lord began to really direct me toward just what's happening in the world. You guys know that I pay attention to a lot of the news outlet and things like that for the purposes of biblical prophecy. That's my intent of it. I could care less about politics. I could care less about those things. But more than anything, just like Jesus and the apostles, they looked at the events happening around them in light of what the scripture said in the Old Testament. And we look at the things around us in light of what the Old Testament and the New Testament says. And all things point to a very important thing. And then that is the coming of Jesus. That's our hope. The Christians live on three things, right? Faith, hope, and love. Amen. Faith, what Jesus has done for us. We're to live in love and loving the Lord and loving one another each day. But we're to also have the hope of his coming, the hope of the resurrection, the hope of his return. It's the anchor within the veil. We sang that today, didn't we? The anchor within the veil comes from the book of Hebrews. And that is our hope, but we're to live in faith, we're to live in love, and we're to live with hope. Hope that does not disappoint. That hope is the return of Jesus, the absolute guarantee. It is the word for hope, the absolute guarantee that this is going to happen. So we live with that hope, but we also live in faith and faithfulness, looking back at what Jesus has done for us and living by faith and living in love, loving one another, loving the Lord. And as I was reading the letters of Paul, and we've been through the letters of Paul and through this fellowship quite a bit. In fact, we just finished one and started one. So letters of Paul, Ephesians, it's the one we're on today, and Galatians, we just finished. And all through those letters, which are very, very important, by the way, they are the teachings of Jesus in a very straight, practical way. If you ever wanted to know what Jesus meant on the Sermon on the Mount, just read the epistles of Paul and James and John, especially about love, loving your neighbor, loving your enemy, and you'll understand what Jesus really meant. If we have any confusion, just go to the epistles. So the epistles are absolutely a key to understand Scripture because it puts it straightforward. How many guys like straightforward stuff? I just want to know what it is, right? Praise the Lord. So you love the epistles. And how about practical things? Don't just tell me. Show me what to do, right? Show me what to do. I want to get in on it. I want to know exactly what to do. Well, they do both. Straightforward, practical level. And I want to turn to Ephesians 6 very quickly before we get started, because today is very special in the fact that I am not going to be the only one speaking today. Thank God for that, right? And I know what you're thinking. We're getting out early today, right? I'm sure it crossed your mind, because it did mine. Ephesians 6:10. After all is said and done, so we're jumping a little bit ahead because we're barely in Ephesians 2, but this is Ephesians 6 and verse 10. After all, Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now he's speaking to the Ephesians. He's speaking to them. He's speaking to all of the Ephesian church. It was a general letter, per se, to all the believers in that area. But by the Spirit, he's speaking to all Christians who name the name of Christ. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, for that you may be able to stand firm in this against the schemes, literally his tactics. You know how football teams have tactics? We're getting ready to do the football thing this Sunday or next Sunday, I think it is, right? And they have strategies, tactics, X's and O's, right? Well, the devil has X's and O's. He has strategies. He has schemes of the devil. For our struggle, verse 12, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, in which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Literally, is a word for missiles. We got a word missile there. It's translated right. It's like a missile. It's like, it's sometimes it's translated darts, but it's just, it's fiery missiles. We get our word, our English word missiles from that. And the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayers and perseverance, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. And he asks us to pray for him. That's what Paul asking us to pray for, his boldness. The armor of God, the battle. Christians, we talked about this. I think we did three messages on it, just how important it is. The spiritual warfare. It's a battle that you entered in when you said yes to Jesus. When he said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want to walk with you. I want you to be my God. And he put a spirit in you, and you became born again. You repented of your sins. You automatically were transferred from one kingdom, it's called the kingdom of darkness, and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son, the son of his love, Jesus. You were automatically put into this kingdom, which is at war with another kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. In the kingdom of darkness, because we were once children of wrath, we were once part of that kingdom and thrived and lived and devoted many times and many hours and many things to it, I'm no longer part of that. And that kingdom views me as a traitor. A traitor. I have abandoned that kingdom. And because of Jesus' love for me, I'm part of the other kingdom, the kingdom of light. But that kingdom hasn't been vanquished completely. It's been disarmed in terms of power toward us believers, but it has not been vanquished completely. It's still very active on earth, and it's still very part of our everyday life. And so Paul tells us that this struggle is not against people. It's not against necessarily governments and things like that, although those represent the evil things of the world. But it's behind it. It's what's behind it. And it's really the tactics of this, of Satan to come against God's people, to come against God's church, and to deceive the world into believing a lie. We talked about that lie on Wednesday. The lie that Jesus is not Lord and man can be Lord. And they'll prop up one man called the man of sin, and they will prop him up as God. And that's where the world's headed. But we're fighting this battle with the armor of God. And today I wanted to share something very important with you that Paul reminded Timothy. Again, these are all, I love this in the Bible. You can find them all throughout the New Testament. This verbiage, this words of fighting and entanglement and soldiers and going to war. And Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Twice in the letter, fight the good fight of faith. Paul ran his fight, he did his fight, he ran his race, and he's encouraging Timothy to fight his fight, the faith, his own race, run it with endurance, and we're to fight the fight, the good fight. It's not just a bad fight, but it's a good fight of faith, and it happens to be that this battle is spiritual. Because the battle is spiritual, it has to be won spiritually, with spiritual weaponry. And God has given that to us, hasn't he? He's given us all that we need for that battle. And we're to take it all. We're to take it all. Not one shred should be left behind. It should take it all up, all the time. And it's the full armor of God, starting with truth, starting with the reality. The word for truth in the Bible is the word reality. What is your reality today? Is the reality? Yeah, that's right. It should be God's word. The reality should not be the things of the world or what the world tells you or what the popular opinion is today. But it should be God's word. It's the plumb line that drives us straight into the arms of our Lord. And so everything hangs on the truth of the belt of truth. Everything hangs on it. And today, as we're talking about life and abortion, if you have not paid attention to the news or what's been going on in our nation for the past, well, I guess 73, right? Roe versus Wade. But has ramped up the rhetoric, and the real fight has been, it's been happening for children now. And that's a real battle today, is for children. Now, I put that, what if there were toddlers? Because if you were hearing today that somebody was committing infanticide, killing toddlers. How many have toddlers here? Do we have a toddler? Is Karis considered a toddler? No, but she was. She acts. I have toddlers at home. And I'm just referring to the little ones. But if you have a toddler, if you heard someone today say, they are killing toddlers, you would be up in arms, wouldn't you? You would be pounding on that church door and calling me out and saying, why haven't you told us anything? Why haven't you said anything? You're a liar. You're whatever. You would have called me all kinds of names because you know that that is absolutely wrong. And it's called infanticide. And that should be, and everybody that commits it, anybody that commits it should be in prison and pay the price for that. But what if I would tell you that more little ones, more younger than those right there, the toddler age, that was actually happening. And it is actually happening. You know, babies in the womb grow up to be toddlers. I've never seen a baby in the womb grow up to be, I don't know, monster. I don't know. Sometimes that does happen. They become monsters, but, you know, they're not, they don't become unhuman. Every baby in the womb becomes a toddler at some point. That's right. It's so I want to just refer to the fact that they're babies. They're just little babies. And they become toddlers, and they become adults, and they become teenagers. And then they become you. And every one of us have gone through that. But if that was happening, you would be up in arms about toddlers. But it is happening to babies. It is happening to younger ones than that. And recently, our nation has ramped up the rhetoric and has really smeared it on the faces of conservatives. And I want to make something very, very clear. It's not political. Forget this idea that abortion is political. You believe that's political, you absolutely swallow the biggest lie they have made for the past, 73? So past 30-some years now. It's the fact that they think it's political, and it's not. What it is, spiritual. Spiritual. Now, Christians, who are the only people in the world that can fight a spiritual battle? Christians. Don't expect the government to come and say, hey, let's fight the spiritual battle together. Don't expect the atheist. Don't expect the group. Don't expect anybody to come and fight the spiritual battle, because that battle has been reserved for Christians, has been put on our behalf to say, look, you fight this battle. And isn't the challenge the here and now? Isn't the challenge the here and now? It's like, we think of going to be with the Lord. We think of going to be with Jesus, and it's a wonderful thing. And we think of this day that's coming, the resurrection. But the challenge is for here and now. And the Bible is very practical at that. That's why the letters are so important, because they not only give you the hope of eternal life, but the challenge of here and now. What are you going to do in this battle? By the way, the enemy thinks you're a traitor, and God has equipped you to go into this battle. And like a good soldier, you're to entangle yourself in this battle and not abandon the battle. But unfortunately, many Christians have abandoned this battle, or they pretend it's not there, or they want to not participate. Pastor, just keep telling me about the news, you know, about Israel and things like that. And those are important. And I'm not going to deny that. But it is to say, there's not a whole lot you can do for the wars in Israel, the wars and rumors of wars. There's not much you can do about nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom, can't you? You can pray, absolutely, we ought to. But you can't be involved in that, and you can't fulfill it, and you can't get entangled with it and say, I'm gonna change the course of history. Jesus said that this is the way it's gonna go, but the end is not yet. He said these things must take place, but the end is not yet. But this sort of battle here in America, battle here in our churches, it's for the mind of men and for the lives of men and for the souls of men. By the way, this is the world in which you live in. I don't know if you noticed, but that's what most people in our nation believe. Their theology, pluralism. What is pluralism? Anybody know? Many faith. All faith are equal. All faith have equal value, equal voice, equal whatever, right? And so Islam, Hinduism, name another one, atheism, Satanism, yeah, Christianity, all have the same value, all have the same worth, all have the same ideologies. It's just the same thing. The average person at Starbucks today that you'll meet probably believes that theology, that Christianity is just one choice that you can make among the many choices that are in this world. And so they live that way. Their ethic? Amoralism. By the way, I hope these are not big words. But what does amoralism mean? No morality. No morality, meaning that it's relative in the sense of it just depends on the person. There's no morality, right? Most people in our world today wouldn't care less about the Ten Commandments, let alone anything that Jesus said. And so therefore, they don't live like that. It's the world in which you live. Their authority. You ever heard somebody say, it's a scientific fact that this is whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then, forgive me for this. And then the verbal diarrhea comes after they tell you the scientific community believes that man causes global warming. Scientific community believes that it's a million years old. The scientific community says that a baby is not a human until they're born. You know, the scientific, their authority. Okay, where is the Christian's authority? The Word of God. That's the Word of God. That's Jesus, his words, the apostles' words. Our ethics. Comes from God's Word, right? Our ethics come from God's Word. Is the right moral behavior in accordance to the spirit of holiness. That is the ethics of Christians. And then our theology. We believe there's one God. And we believe God has demonstrated himself in the person of Jesus the Messiah, who died and rose again for our sins. That's our theology. And then, of course, what's our mission? Save the world? That's right, the Great Commission. Make disciples of all men, right? What's the mission of the world? Well, social justice. You see an inequality, we're to strike it down and we're to destroy anybody who's causing it. And of course, they have no morality, they just see an injustice and they'll strike at it. So let's say Christians are against homosexual marriage. Ah, inequalities. Strike the Christians who are in according to that. Now, it wouldn't bother me so much except for the fact that this is happening in churches. Abortion on demand, calling churches to oblige to this, to conform to it. World Health Organization even believes that men can have abortions. Believe it or not. And we're to make abortion great again, they say, taking a mockery, of course, about what the president said. Now, I'm going to get off the stage here because I'm going to have our fellowship come up. We've asked individuals from our fellowship to come up and share. They're involved in the not only in the witnessing and sharing the gospel, not only to on Planned Parenthood, near the Planned Parenthood area, not at their property, but on Saturdays, second Saturday of the month, they go and share. But they're also involved in ministering and sharing the gospel. And they have a heart for this. And I've asked them to come up and share. And but I'm going to show you one small video of what happened this week in New York. By the way, everybody's up in arms about it, about New York. Did you realize it's the 8th state that does this? The 8th. No, they're not on that list. Believe it or not, I was like, Alaska, Colorado, New Hampshire, the District of Columbia, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, and Vermont, you can actually abort a baby up to the day that they're born, that their birthday. Third trimester abortion is removed. The protection for the third trimester abortion or the preborn of children, the protection for the third trimester preborn children has been removed in those states, including New York now. And it's fighting hard in California, fighting hard in Pennsylvania and in Iowa to bring that into those places as well. It is not about healthcare. It is not about women's rights. It is absolutely a delusion beyond belief. By the way, I know that it's not healthcare for women because surgeries, those type of surgeries, is a very invasive procedure. Doctors don't even recommend plastic surgery. They don't even recommend plastic surgery, which is less invasive because they say that is invasive, but they promote abortion, which is hyper-invasive. And they say it's just a clump of cells. It's just not even a baby yet, they said. So the Christians have a role, and that role is, the battle's not over, right? The God of this world is on that side, and the God of all creation, our God, our Jesus, he's on the side of life. He's on the side of truth. And so the battle's spiritual. The battle is going to be won. The battle is going to be won because Jesus is going to come and remove all wickedness. But the challenge is here and now. And our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons are spiritual. And as Christians go into the world, they're to be salt and light. And that's what the challenge is. That's what the spiritual battle is to go into the everyday world that we live in today, here and now, and be spiritually ready to fight this battle, the good fight of faith. And we'll give some practical things that we can do, but by far the most important thing is to pray and to be involved and to share God's word with people, God's word with moms and women and men, and bring light into a very dark, dark world. And I had a challenge for myself, and I wrote it down. Maybe it's a challenge for you if the Lord speaks to you. Am I really pro-children, pro-life in any way? Not just pro-life and children, but I'm also against euthanasia. I'm also against murder, and I'm also for moms that have babies. And all that, that's the Christian thinking, right? It's not just the baby, it's the mom. It's not just the babies, it's the moms. It's also what they're trying to do with the elderly in terms of the promotion of euthanasia. All that, that's the Christian battle today. And you talk about practical things, right? I can go on and give you a dissertation and an exegetical teaching in Ephesians 2, and you might like it, you may not like it, but you may go home today and go, well, that's great. But we're talking, how do you apply your faith today? And so my challenge was, am I pro-life in a sense, in name only? That if you ask me, are you pro-life? I said, yeah. But then I have nothing of involvement, and nothing of my faith, and nothing of the gospel is involved in that particular arena of life. And so that's the challenge today. Am I just rhetoric? Or am I really believe this and willing to be involved any way I can? And we'll talk about that at the end. But I want to play this video, and I'm going to have first person to come up. This is what happened in New York this week. Very short. It is.
Women in New York State now have some of the nation's strongest protections for abortion rights. It's all thanks to the Reproductive Health Act signed into law last night. Supporters of this new law are rejoicing. But for right-to-life advocates, this is a step back in their fight.
Abortion is a medical procedure. It is not a crime.
State lawmakers from both the Assembly and the Senate today celebrated.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signing the Reproductive Health Act on Tuesday. It defines abortion as a fundamental right and allows late-term abortions after 24 weeks.
He called it a victory for all New Yorkers.
Pro-choice activists fear abortion laws could change dramatically and soon.
We have a president who's made it very, very clear that he wants to overturn Roe v. Wade. Today, here in New York, we are saying no.
It was 46 years ago today that the Supreme Court made Roe v. Wade the law of the land. And for many years, a lot of lawmakers thought it was unnecessary to have a local law guaranteeing women the right to an abortion. But the Supreme Court has lately become much more conservative. Other states have passed laws chipping away at Roe v. Wade. So today, after a long, long wait, lawmakers in Albany moved to strengthen abortion rights in New York.
Democrats say voters put them in control to pass progressive legislation, and the Reproductive Health Act is one of the first on a long list of bills Republicans can no longer stop.
And late-term abortions would now be legal at the discretion of a doctor or other health care providers.
We're saying that here in New York, women's health matters. We're saying here in New York, women's lives matter. We're saying here in New York, women's decisions matter.
I support this act It's crucial that we protect a woman's right to choose, particularly at this moment in history where women's rights are under attack.
Just last week, Governor Andrew Cuomo joined with Hillary Clinton to call for passage of the Reproductive Health Act.
Well, before today, New York's abortion law, it was written in 1970 before the Supreme Court decision on Roe v. Wade. Today's change will allow not only doctors to perform an abortion, but also in some cases, some of them can be handled by physician assistants and also...
Video stopped right there. Just don't want to take it further than that. Yeah, doctor could do it. Physician's assistant could do it up to 9 months. It's just unbelievable. But are we really surprised the way our nation's been going? And it shouldn't surprise us if we're paying attention to where it's going. But at the same time, it should shock us into the reality that this is a battle that's been being fought. By the way, Hillary Clinton praised this, and then she praised the pregnancy of her daughter. And I thought... I don't get that part. Well, as long as it's not her baby, it has to be your baby. If it's your baby, that's fine. But don't touch our baby. They know that. They know this. That's the truth. But they've been deluded by Satan and lies, and the fact that largely we become silent as Christians. Largely we become silent as Christians. And so I pray that our fellowship doesn't stay silent. That we speak the word of God out and the truth of the word. So. You don't want just me to do it, so I've invited some of our part of our fellowship to come up. So, Brother Anthony, come up, and he'll share with us. He's involved in on a monthly basis, going out into the community in San Bernardino. You have your mic.
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. I'll leave you with Anthony.
Yeah. That's wicked. We could all agree that that's wicked, right? Yes. What's going on in New York? I was really convicted when Marco was talking about that. Do we really believe that abortion's murder? Are we pro-life or are we pro-choice? You know, do we still deep down think that it's still a right, you know, that we have? If we really agree that that's murder, then I'd expect to see more people, you know, speaking out about it, you know, in all the conversations we have, the theological discussions we have. I'd hear, you know, more voices being heard from all of us, you know, speaking for the babies that are being slaughtered, you know, their blood that's being poured out, you know, as a judgment. God's not doing it, but he's allowing it to be done, you know. He's, read Romans 1, right, and he's turning people over to a depraved mind, and this is the things that they're going to do. This is God's wrath being poured out in the unbelieving world, and but we're called to be salt, right? We're called to speak up for injustice like this, right?
Yes.
And I was going to talk about Planned Parenthood. We go out there, and I want to say that the whole church is out there, you know, on their knees out there praying, and even having service out there. But I'd have to say that it isn't our church. It's a Catholic church that goes out there. And they all meet out there, and they're on their knees crying out and praying to their God. And they're out there in unity, their whole church, the Catholic church. And we've had, you know... We've talked with them. We've had different, of course, different opinions on doctrine and things like that. And we've witnessed to them as well. But I mean, you got to appreciate their passion they have for the lost. You know, we might get 5 people out there from this congregation right here. You know, maybe 10 if we're lucky to come out there. We've been doing it for 2 years. Second Saturday, we remind everybody. You know, but what's it going to take? You know, what's God going to do to wake us up, you know, and ask us to go out there, you know? And I know we all have busy lives, you know, everybody, you know, work. I'm not married. I don't have children, so I know what it's like. But I see a lot of brothers and sisters going out there, Nora with her daughters and Pastor with his kids, and they bring their kids out there. I know people who work busy schedules who I see out there. And you might say you're not a preacher, you know, well, you might not have this loud voice. I wish Bradley was here because he has that real loud preaching voice. You know, you might not have that, but you get someone like Dana who goes out there and with her soft-spoken voice, and she's able to talk to ladies and just let them know about Jesus and let them know there's a better way. And, you know, you don't even have to even speak sometimes. We bring signs out there. We bring signs that you could carry. You know, my mom goes out there and she carries a sign and she doesn't talk to anybody, you know. I know, you know, things have happened in a lot of our past that makes us a little sensitive with that topic or with that issue. For myself, I have some experience with it. I've actually paid for someone to have an abortion before, and the Lord's forgiven me, and there's no more shame in that. He's forgiven me, you know, and of course there's going to be some lasting consequences to that, but the Lord will use me out there to speak with the young man and not talk to him and say, you know, don't make the same mistake that I did. And he's given me opportunity to speak with people, you know, my own age. And it's like, and it's all God doing, and it's the Holy Spirit, you know, filling us, you know, when we're all in unity. But it's hard to be in unity when you know, I hear a lot of people saying, you know, amen and yes and hurrah when pastor's preaching, you know. But do we really believe that? Do we really believe it? Or is this moving us to good works, you know? Is this holiness and this righteousness that God gives us, is the Spirit moving us? And we have to really ask ourselves that. But I just don't know if we really are anti-abortion, not just pro-life, if we really are anti-abortion, if we really are anti-murder, if we really believe it's murder, what's it going to take? Now it's all the way, all 9 months, it's all the way to, you know, I mean, do we really believe life starts at conception? Do we really believe that? Because we can't see it, you know? Is it going to take for us to actually see babies being born and slaughtered before we wake up and say, you know, something has to be done? We need to pray more. We need to be on our knees more. We need to evangelize more. Amen. You know, I know we all do our own evangelism at work. We all do. We all speak to people that the Lord puts us in. But when the fellowship calls for something like that, we need to all be in agreement on things, and we need to all come together. Yes. You know, and when all these things are going on, we have prayer and fasting once a month. And I hate to say it, but it's the same situation as Planned Parenthood. There might be five people here, the same five people I see at Planned Parenthood, I see here praying for everybody. You know, when we have personal issues going on with our health, going on with our families, and we're really quick to stay here for an hour and get counsel and praise the Lord for that, and we get it, you know, but when one time a month we're called to be in prayer and fasting, you know, it's like the F word of Christianity, fasting. And it's sad. You know, we want to hold on to that. It's a secret, you know, but there's corporate fasting, and there's time in the Bible where it says that we need to call for a fast and we need to call for prayer. Right? Yes. Corporately.
Amen. Yes.
But we don't want to be pushed, right? You know, I remember a couple years ago when Brother Will, who used to attend here, he moved away. And he was speaking something similar about going out to Planned Parenthood. I remember I was thinking, like, who are you telling me what I should be doing? You know, that's how I felt, right? And I was just like, so I know what it's like. I was sat there and I was just like, who does he think he is? You know, but guess what? God's voice was louder, and I went, right? And we've seen people go to Planned Parenthood and leave Planned Parenthood. We don't know what their intentions were. We don't know what the turnout was. You know, we've tried to maybe follow up, but we're there, right? You guys are there. Some of you guys are there, and praise the Lord for that. Yes. But we pray for more laborers, but it's like pray and then go, right? We need to pray more. We need to be on our knees more. I just don't know if we really believe it. I don't really know if we believe it. If there's power of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel and to affect lives. You know, and I was reading in 1 Peter where judgment begins at the house of the Lord, right? And there's correction and there's discipline. And that should be what we should be looking for, right? And this is that's what the Lord's showing me today, that we need to be hearing this. The world's gonna do what the world's gonna do, right? God's turning people over. It's getting worse, right? He's turning people over to a depraved mind, and they're going to believe the lie. But we're supposed to, when persecution comes, then what are we going to do if we can't even meet here together once a month? You know, what are we going to do when real persecution comes? Yes. I guarantee in places like the Philippines, we just heard about some church bombings this morning. I guarantee they have no problem coming to a prayer meeting. I guarantee these places where the persecution is happening, they have no problem with fasting. I guarantee it, right? But when we have an agape feast and praise the Lord for that too, and there's food here, it's like, there's a huge turnout, awesome, you know? But when we have to, you know, When there's something else called, is we're just like, oh no, hey, that's personal. So out there at Planned Parenthood, it's just there's a lot of opportunities to be used by the Lord, and we all have different gifts and different talents, and God wants to use them. And he wants to use them. And there's a few things that we do here as a fellowship. Just a few. But I don't see any reason why the majority of the congregation should be involved with these things. We're real quick to bash other churches, you know, we're real quick to talk about the apostate church and the lukewarm church and we're the remnant, right? We're the solid Bible-believing church, right? But what are we doing with that? What are we doing with all that? You know, we just come for, you know, the knowledge. For what? For what? For the meat. For what? So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, but I also want you to be convicted, like I'm convicted. I want that to move you. I want that to move you. You know, we're supposed to arm ourselves, right? Yes. We're supposed to arm ourselves, like Pastor was sharing, and like I read in 1 Peter 4, about arming ourselves, right? Like soldiers. What are soldiers over here and over there and over there and over there? Is that how they're in the battle? Or are they arming themselves, arm in arm? And all the things that God's called us to do, right? You know, and we say that, well, that's not my calling, that's not my ministry, that's not this and that's not that. No, this is our calling. We're here. God's called us all here together as a congregation. So, I'm going to read 1 Peter 4. It's encouraging. How we should be living, right? In these times, if you know the context and if you know the background, the sufferings that we're to expect. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin so as to live the rest of the time in flesh no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued, of course, the sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them in the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead, for the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. The end of things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment, sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another, without complaint, as each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who speaks the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do as one who is serving by the strength of which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler, but if everyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome from those who do not obey the gospel? And if it is with difficulty that righteous is saved and will become of the godless man, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore also, suffer according to the will of God. Those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. God promises us that he will be with us in the fire. We have to go into the fire, though. We have to be willing to go into the fire. We have to be willing to get burnt, even be killed. We have to be willing for that. And God will be with us in the fire, right? In the flood, in the fire. He wants us to go into it. because that's where the trust, and that's where we're going to grow, and that's where we're going to be saved. Amen. That's all I wanted to say to you guys, and I love you guys. God bless you, okay? Amen.
Morning. I wanted to share a verse with you from Psalm 139, verse 19 and 20. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God, depart from me, therefore men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. When I read that, it reminded me of something I had seen on Facebook. There's a group out there that calls themselves Thank God for Abortion. And they're saying this, they're dancing in the street in vain, thanking God for abortion, calling themselves Christian, when in fact, the only times I could think that you would have an abortion to save the life of a mother would be in a hospital setting. At 23 or 24 weeks, a baby is viable and can be delivered. So I can't imagine that Planned Parenthood would be doing those type of abortions to save a life. The other situation that is sad, and I would never want to be in that situation, my heart goes out to those women, are for rape. And even then, two wrongs don't make a right. Christ can heal your life. He can. There's plenty of people out there that if you didn't want the baby, there's so many Christians that are ready to adopt those children. And but the people that I've met that have had those type of abortions were young single mothers going from one failed relationship to another using abortion as birth control, college students that, you know, don't feel that they can support a child and do not want that baby getting in the way of their education or career goals. I even met a wife that was having a rough patch in her marriage and having had a couple abortions, and later on her marriage was reconciled, but now there's a shadow in that marriage. And I was faced with the similar choice. When I was 16 years old, actually 14 years old, my parents took me to our family doctor for a physical, and I remember taking the nurse aside and letting her know that I was pregnant, or thought I was pregnant, and the doctor checked me and let me know that my baby was about 3 months old and that I should have an abortion because I'm only 14. I mean, this is my family doctor. And I remember I told him that I just didn't feel right. And he told me, you know, I'm a Catholic, but if you were my daughter, you should have an abortion because you're 14. You have your whole life ahead of you. And I just remember, like, you know, the fear as a young girl having to, you know, I had to face my parents and, you know, like my youth group at church and, you know, my church, just not knowing how life was going to be. And I do remember, though, that even in my sin, you know, the Lord gave me a fear knowing that I had no right to take that life, that somehow, you know, I had to deal with the consequences of whatever was going to happen, however I was going to have to live. My boyfriend, Andre, wanted me to keep the baby. So we did, and it wasn't without consequence. I mean, I didn't get to graduate with my high school class, and, you know, we had to scramble for rent. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Lord restored our lives. You know, he restores. I mean, now, like, Andre's my husband now, and we have two kids that love us. I have a third kid, if you count, you know, Sergio. He's married my daughter, and I, you know, like... No offense, son-in-law. I love you. You're part of my family. But, like, you know, now I have, like, this sweet little grandson, my little grandson, Shlomo. I mean, I would never have that baby if I would have aborted Becca. I mean, just, they've been such a blessing in my life. And I'm so thankful for, you know, Christians in our church that do go out to Planned Parenthood. I think that's a very important ministry. I'm also very thankful for, like, brothers like Daryl that go to Mission Inn. Infusion. I mean, they're stopping abortion right there before the kids even get to the steps of Planned Parenthood because they're sharing the gospel. You know, we're now going to San Bernardino, Andre, Anthony, and Brother Tony. Like, I think there's so many more ways we can do it in addition to Planned Parenthood. I'm remembering, I mean, I was in the youth group. So I think that we need to reach out to our youth, not just leave it to our their teachers back there. You know, the Bible says, like, let the older men and women teach the younger. We have young singles here that, you know, we need to come alongside them because, I mean, I was in a church and I was having secret sin. And so it's so important that we really take the time to talk to these people that, you know, sometimes they are kind of like left to the side. They're not part of like the married group or family group. So it's important that we reach out to them. And I want to say, like, to any woman or that's had an abortion or a man that's in maybe encouraged, you know, an abortion. I didn't have the abortion, but I still was fornicating. And I did, my sins were many. And God forgave every one of them. And he stands ready to forgive you. You know, if you're listening online or if you're in this congregation, just know, like, God is ready to take you, bring you out of that dark tunnel and into his marvelous light. Jesus stands ready to forgive you and heal your brokenness. I wanted to leave you with this final verse, just explaining, like, just showing you that, you know, God loves babies. He loves human life, but he loves you. Here it is. It's Psalm 139, 13 through 18. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. It's a very egregious subject to deal with. It's not easy. I feel very humbled. The two people that has spoken already, it's touched my heart. It's gripping my heart. I know the Holy Spirit's at work because Pastor already used my opening verse. It was Ephesians 6, 12, and 14, but I'm not going to reread it. But I really haven't come here to rant in total rage, which I feel like doing. I will try to stay calm, hopefully. By now, everybody knows what's happened in New York this week. A total demonic change in their abortion law. And they had the audacity, I don't know if you've seen other clips, but they were celebrating death. Are you real? Are you for real celebrating death? Let me back up a bit. Pastor Marco asked me to speak on this subject. It's very personal. You can talk to me and my wife about it later, but as I began to dig, I was totally sickened as I discovered how late-term abortions were going to be performed. My wife began to read what was entailed. She was so disturbed, it brought her to tears. She began weeping. Then yesterday she showed me an actual abortion online. Brothers and sisters, I was sickened to death. It was unreal what I was seeing. I don't want to describe the procedure. You need to go and do some digging yourself and look what actually occurs when that happens. If you don't know, since 1973, even further back, you could even take this all the way back to the garden, there's been a nonstop total frontal assault against humanity and our babies. The battle cry, lately, the battle cry is, it's a woman's right to choose. It's funny that no one ever stands for the baby's right. It's become even worse. You know, because the scope of abortion has been expanded. You know, it was at first the first trimester, you know, then it's kept going and going. And now it's at the point of birth, okay? Right up to the point of birth. You know, this full frontal assault against humanity, it's because we are created in the image of God.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I've never seen the viciousness, the horrific assault on Christianity. You know, the hatred for Jesus is just off the chart. I've been on the earth for almost 65 years. And I've never seen the enemy this vicious and ruthless. I thought the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s were pretty rough times. You know, during the 60s, that's when it seems like things started really escalating in America. I mean, we had the British invasion, we had drugs, sex, rock and roll, all that stuff was assaulting the youth. You know, they were pretty tough times, but this is way worse. You know, in 1973, we were at the top of the slippery slope. That is a time where we were pushed down the slippery slope. The church was asleep at the wheel. Many were saying in church circles in 1972, the abortion law would never pass. Don't have to worry about it. It's not going to pass. There was small opposition, and the law ended up in the Supreme Court. Court found for the bill. Needless to say, the church leaders were in shock. It's time to take the spiritual gloves off, get rid of the bad case of ostrichitis. You probably say, "Aren't what are you talking about, ostrichitis? What is that?" When good people bury their heads in the sand and are not aware of what the enemy is doing. Look, the next shoe that will drop will be murdering babies outside the womb. You're probably saying, you got to be kidding, Art. No. Our illustrious barber boxer 5 to 6 years ago has already introduced this. Her view is the parents have all the rights to do it. If you don't believe me, look it up online. It shows a debate going on about this subject, and then she makes that statement. This is why we need to draw the line in the sand now. You know, I didn't wear this shirt for just, for snazzy looks.
But you look good.
I know, I do. Thank you. Thank you for that. No, the reason I wore it because the title of this little talk is Red Alert, Call to Arms. I'm telling you, we need to draw the line now. It's for the future and present babies. Their lives are at stake, okay? We will continue down this slippery slope. Where will it stop? I think the same senator said, well, 4 years is 4 year old is okay to abort them for under the right conditions. Well, why stop there? How about 10-year-olds? No. Let's go further. Let's go to 17-year-olds. Oh no, let's go. Oh, you're not the right color. Oh, we better not have you on the face of the earth. You know, this sort of stuff happened in Nazi Germany. And that's where we're headed if we don't draw the line. When you go down that slippery slope, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. You might be asking me, Art, so what do we do about this? We're up against insurmountable odds. That's when God does his best work. Just look at the stories in the Word. Moses, Samson, Gideon, David, Queen Esther, and so many others. Just recently, because the church grew a backbone and began to pray and protest and give testimony before politicians that LGBTQ bill that would have restricted our ministry in that community went down to defeat. Here is evidence of that protest. These are testimonies of people that have come out of that lifestyle. Wouldn't it be awesome if we had a book like this where we could name all the babies that were saved because we stood up? We stood up for them. Okay, that bill went down in defeat. Choose this day whom you will serve and stand for. The warning bell is ringing. Pray, fast, keep equipping yourself with the word. Keep your head in the game. Know what your enemy is doing as much as possible. I will end with a short story. There was a lady in Italy, okay? She was happy. She was pregnant with a son. And during her pregnancy, some of the testing came back negative. Your baby may have some defects. The doctor suggested abortion. Mother said, no, I'm going to keep this baby. And sure enough, the baby was born. And yes, had some defects. It was in the vision. Blurry vision. They tried to correct it. It couldn't. But this boy grew up. And he was a typical boy. He was out there playing soccer. And another thing happened that should have set this young man back, took a soccer ball right to the face and took his vision completely. Didn't stop him. He kept going. He became an amazing musician, piano. He used to listen to the great tenor opera singers of his day, and his voice began to develop, and he started getting trained to sing. If the mother would have aborted him, this world-class opera singer, who is Andrea Bocelli, would have never been born. And if you've ever heard him sing, He's an amazing artist.
Amen.
And he is pro-life.
Hallelujah.
So that hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm talking with the Lord, and I say, well, what about the ones that are born without any limbs, Father? What are their purposes? What are their purpose? He was telling me their purpose is from us, for us, the parents, to learn patience, long-suffering, endurance,
yes,
to learn how to be a good servant. Because when you have a person like that, and me and my wife know firsthand,
yes,
you become a servant. Lord starts working on your heart. Even though there are tough times, believe me, I feel for those that have children that are handicapped. You know, they were born that way. It takes a lot of strength and endurance and long-suffering to take care of these children. My greatest fear is that we'll progress down this slippery slope. Our countries, the world is at the place of, you know, as the days of Noah. And in Jeremiah, and I'm going to end with this. Let me see if I have it. I thought I had it marked. Oh, here it is. Okay. During Jeremiah's day, they were facing the same thing. Their society, the Jewish people were falling apart. They were after gods. They were actually sacrificing their babies to Moloch. And if you know what that entails, it is pretty gross. And he says to Jeremiah, as for you, do not pray for this people. Do not lift up cry or prayer for them. Pray for them. And do not intercede with me, for I do not hear you anymore. Why? Because the society got so bad that judgment was coming. This is why after, we need to pray. We need to pray that people will wake up and see what's going on. Do some digging. See what it's just not the abortion issues. There are so many other areas where our country is falling apart. Keep looking. Keep your head in the game. Don't be buffaloed by the fake news that you hear sometimes. Do your own research. And then let it sink into your heart. And ask the Lord, okay, so what do you want me to do? I'm just one person. I said that to the Lord, actually. He said, wasn't David, this is what the Lord said, wasn't David one person with one rock? He can do amazing things with all of us if we allow him to do it in us, through him. Thank you.
Abortion shouldn't be called abortion. It should be called murder. When you abort something, it means you quit something. It doesn't mean you murdered somebody. Listening to that video of those congressmen, the women kept saying this, a woman's health issue. It's not a woman's health issue. It is not a woman's health issue. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. In the medical journal, they've done numerous studies showing that women that have had abortions have a 50% chance of having cancer of the breast over the average person. Now, is that a health issue? Yes, it is, but it's not that kind of health issue. On this late-term abortion, 9 months, the states that have that law have it. It's a law saying that the baby has to be terminated inside the womb and then taken out. Because if it's terminated outside the womb, they say it's murder. Okay? So figure that one out. That's a good point. If I kill a pregnant woman, I am charged with 2 counts of murder. How can you have it both ways? You cannot have it both ways. You know, one way that I know Vivian brought up, teen fusion. Over the years, Carol has had a couple of classes on purity to the girls. And that is one way we can help. We can help before it gets there. I had a long talk with our teens, boys, one time, and they still remember it. I won't tell you what I told them, but they'll never forget it about pregnancies. But that's what we have to do. We have to educate them before they get there. Once it's, oops, okay, then they start looking for other sources. Praise the Lord for Vivian and Andre in it. That's where we need to get them all at. Carol and I have worked very closely in a lot of ways with the San Bernardino Pregnancy Center, and it's right next door if you ever go out there to Planned Parenthood. Matter of fact, because of the address, if you put the Planned Parenthood on GPS, it sends you to the pregnancy center. And that's where we have to work to. There are some of us that don't want to, they're timid to be out there with the guys and the girls, ladies, that are out there talking and educating the ones that are coming in for abortion. You have to have a good calling for that, because you're dealing with women that are going in what we call on the killing day. They're already going in with a lot of them with anxiety and stuff. So you have to know how to counsel them. But the pregnancy center, and I'm going to promote them for just a minute. I was talking to Lisa today, and I asked her to give me the statistics at the center for the last year. They served over 3,400 women this last year. They had 170 make decisions for the Lord. They turned 55 women back from actually doing abortions that were coming in for an abortion, and they were able to turn them back. And 75, they did 75 adoption referrals. There are so many aspects of combating abortion, prayer being the biggest. God knows what's going on. I would hate to be those doctors and those nurses and those people out there. Abortion is big money. We've known a lady that owned an abortion clinic in Texas, and then she quit. She saw the light and got out and became a Christian. Each of her abortion clinics would net about $1 million a year. Think about that. Planned Parenthood last year did almost 400,000 abortions. I don't know what it cost, but you and I are paying for both of it, and that has nothing to do with it. We'd pay 20 times that much if we could get it stopped. So we have to stop it, or have to not stop it. That's up to God. We have to pray that God stops it. But there's so much that we can do to do our part as Christians, and you've heard that today. We need to as a church. Did you know, I saw the other day there was a group, and I think it was about 20 clergymen that were at a opening of an abortion clinic praising it. Thou shalt not kill? Where does that go? I don't know. But we have to try to educate the masses out there to an extent. But we also have to pray. But there's so much we can do. We can go to places like San Bernardino Pregnancy Center. They have classes for counselors and stuff every so often. They're just finishing up one now. They have those classes. We can go and volunteer there if we don't feel that we can go anywhere else. We can pray. We can come back here later this afternoon when we pray, when we have fasting and prayer, and make that a part of your prayer. Don't make it a part of, let everybody else pray. No, it's us. We've been given that authority to be able to pray and call that out, and we need to. Satan knows that if there hadn't been 70 million babies aborted, that there would have been a big portion of those that would have been great Christians, brothers and sisters, and they would have come against him. He knows that, like Brother Art said, that there was great talent in those 70 million. He knows that there could have been some of the greatest physicians and scientists. But he knows that there was a lot that would have come against him. So what can we do? Well, praying, of course, is the biggest thing. Because God knows. And as we know, God does answer prayers. He's not going to sit back there and say, like that. You can partner with pregnancy centers. There's several. There's, I don't know, one in what, Chino or somewhere there, I think. There's a San Bernardino one. There's one up at, I think, Lake Arrowhead. Volunteer there, you can support them financially. You can join our team out there on the second Saturday of each month, which is awesome. Carol and I have the Teen Fusion, so we're not able to go out there, but I have been out there at times. And it's awesome to see your fellow brothers and sisters that are out there praying and counseling. I mean, and you've got some brave ones out there. I get tickled at Dana and Tina. Tina's one too. Boy, they need more women, because these girls, women and girls, most of them are girls, young girls, would rather talk to a caring woman than to hear what you have to say, you and I, because how did they get there? Okay, and I'm not trying to be, you know, be flippant on it, but. And their boyfriends have been there a few times, and they get upset. So the men, I mean, not upset with them. They get up, and the men are able to combat their part of it. But they need more ladies. They need more young women, older women, to be able to tell them it's okay. It's okay. There is a thing called adoption. You do not have to murder. Why are our people going to Russia and those places to get kids to the Orient? Because there's not enough here. Most of you don't. Carol and I have seven kids, and everybody feels bad for Carol. But actually, two of those were mine, and they were adopted. And great kids. And you love them. You love them just like you had them. So adoption is one answer. But the biggest answer is don't get pregnant to start with. You can help. You can partner up with Carol and other women, ladies, and give these conferences of purity and classes so that they can understand it is okay to say no, not just to drugs. It's okay to say no, period. So remember that when you're thinking, what can I do? There is so much you can do. There is so much. The Lord, He didn't put thou shalt not murder on there for a reason. So let's all remember that. This has been an awesome day speaking about abortion. It's something we shouldn't have to speak about. But as even Art brought up, in the old days, think of the child sacrifices they made. You know, I saw a cartoon, and it isn't a cartoon as being funny, but it was a little baby looking at a dog and a cat. And the dog and the cat are saying, you mean there is not a humane society for you? Okay. How many times are you watching TV and you see these ads about protection of the cruelty to animals? Okay, I'm all for that. But they won't let us put out anti-abortion ads. what was it, a couple years ago, Tim Tebow, I think, tried to put one on the Super Bowl, and they would refuse to run it. But we can do that with animals. Like they said, Pelosi. Well, yeah, she's a California congressman, and we're going to wind up here. But there is talk among California legislatures at this point, at this very time, of stopping the birth. Let's say they would say, we got too many females in California. For the next 30, 40, 55 days, we're going to kill all the female fetuses. This is talk. This isn't something we're just talking, you know, thinking about. Our males, there's talk right now in California also, we're too overpopulated. So guess what we want to do? Okay? And you know why? And another thing, this is how stupid this is. And I don't, you know. We're so overpopulated that we cannot let illegals come in. Now, this is true, what they've said. So maybe we now need to start thinking about aborting our own babies so we can make room. Brothers and sisters, it's here. The time is here. The Lord is coming. Pretty soon, they're going to take care of Carol and I first. Guess get rid of them old people. They're not real bright. Anyway, they're costing us too much money. But we're here. This isn't a time of I remember as a kid, the Lord's coming soon. Yeah. And of course, that was 60-something, 70 years ago. But he is here. He's getting ready. He's just waiting for a few more things, biblical things, to drop into place. It isn't because of the abortions, but it's other things that have to drop into place. It's things that are happening in Israel and that. And as soon as they drop into place, it still might be a few years. But we're going to start seeing persecution so bad to the Christians. And this is it. You think if a Christian, you start speaking up about abortions, with this day of the internet, it goes right down. Oh, it goes right to the main something somewhere that says Roy talked about ending abortions or talked about how bad it is. So anyway, this has been an awesome day today. Last week was Sanctity of Life, and we decided to have it today. All churches, hopefully, were in there. But you can't even trust your churches now. Can't trust your churches now. And so let's just remember that. Please come back for prayer. We're going to have communion in just a minute. But please come back for prayer after the service today. And let's join as in unity for that. So let's just bow our heads. Father God, we've come to you and we see the problem, the plea, Father God, of your people. We see, Father God, that the enemy wants to kill the young ones that might speak out against him. He doesn't care if they speak against him or for him. He just wants them dead, Father God. And let's quit calling it abortion. Let's call it murder like it is. Father God, we pray against our lawmakers in every state and in our whole United States that this is not something, Father, that will continue. We know you've got a plan for those young babies, Father. We understand that. But we also know that it's not right. It's not right to kill our little ones, to kill any of them, Father. It's not right to say if we murder them outside the womb, it is murder. But if we murder them inside the womb, it's okay. So, Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we lift up all those women that are going for abortions this coming week, Father God, that when the killing rooms are open, Father, that something happens and they're all shut down. Whether it be a malfunction or whatever. So, Father, be with the people that work there and let them know that this is murder. And they are held responsible. You can't say you're a Christian and work there. You can't believe you're a Christian and work there. So, Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we praise you and we give you this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.